Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and happy Wedding Wednesday to you all. We are so happy to have you back here on a wonderful, beautiful Wednesday, actually, here in New York. We had just a touch of rain and a little bit of cool weather, but no complaints at all compared to all the heat that we got before and then all the rain. Today is an actual beautiful, beautiful day. I want to start off by saying congratulations to two of our winners today on our Bridal Tribe page. They won their free copies of our spring issue, the digital spring issue. That is Sharon Udon. And let me just get the other one. I don't want to forget her. Oh, yes, Gwendolyn Strickland. These two women joined our Facebook fan page, and they won a free copy of our digital spring issue. So congratulations to both of them. We are so happy to have you with us on Facebook. If you'd like to get a chance to win one of the free digital issues, join us on Facebook, and you could possibly be one of those. Tonight, we have a few special, pardon me, of course, you know I'm busy doing 3,000 things at once, but we have three special guests on our show tonight. We have Minister Cheryl Walls, and we also have Rudy and Elizabeth Hugo. These are speakers from the Leapy Florence Foundation CELA conference coming on August 24th, Saturday, August 24th. And this conference is for families, women and families. We interviewed, if you didn't get a chance to listen last week, we interviewed speakers from the CELA conference, or the upcoming CELA conference, and we continue that trend tonight. So we're so glad to have each of them on. We're going to bring everybody in, including Audrey Jackson, who is the founder of the Leap D. Florence Foundation. Audrey, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm obedient.
Thank you for being my co-host, lady, this month.
No problem, girl.
I see we don't have to talk bad about you today. You showed up on time.
You know, I was trying very hard.
And you know I was planning, right? I was going to get you good if you didn't show up. I was plotting, too. I was like, let it just be 2 minutes late, Lord. Thankfully, you are here on time, and so are our guests. I do believe one of them is on the air. I've already brought you in. Hello, you're on Tribal Wisdom.
Hi.
Hey, good evening, Cynthia. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, of course.
It's Rudy and Elizabeth.
Thank you. I was about to introduce you, but I'm glad you jumped right in and did it.
This is new for us.
I finally get to hear your voice.
Yes.
This is Audrey.
Hi, Audrey.
We've been texting and emailing, so we finally get to hear the sound of each other's voice.
Yes.
And Pastor Hugo, it's good to hear you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, we also have on the air Minister Cheryl Walls, who's going to join in the conversation. Now, I can tell everyone that during the first half hour of our show, we're going to be talking to Elizabeth about lessons learned from her papa. And in the second half hour, we're going to talk with Minister Cheryl Walls about marriage ministry, motherhood, and me. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this topic. But Cheryl, are you there? I'm sure you are.
I am here.
Yay. You sound good. You sound okay.
Cheryl, Minister Cheryl, how are you doing, girl?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Cheryl, now, you know, we have to keep checking on Cheryl because I hope she's going to be all right. I know that she's just a little bit nervous.
Oh, I am going to be well. I'm just making the mad dash commute from the city to home. So that's why I'm sounding this way. But all is well.
Oh, okay. So that's probably going to be part of your speech tonight, then. If you're making a mad dash, this is part of the marriage motherhood ministry of me.
Absolutely.
All right. to our listeners, if you're listening on the internet, great. If you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, please call 347-996-3160. Press 1 if you have a question or a comment, or if you just want to listen in, all you have to do is do that. Now, why don't we jump on into the topic, which is lessons from my papa. Tells and the whole story of which you said recently published your writing journey about caring for your father, your elderly father.
Yes, hi. It's Elizabeth again. And I know something about being a mom, too. I just introduced myself. I have been an at-home mom now for, 31 years. I have 5 children, and I've had the privilege of being home with them and homeschooling them. I'm homeschooling now for 20 years. And we just living our lives, and my mom and dad lived in New Jersey, and my mom was my dad's primary caregiver at 88, and, you know, she was supposed to live forever because my mom was the type of woman that could run circles around me as far as energy, and she was just, she was the healthy one, and my dad was a diabetic and total care. He was suffering from dementia, and he's also blind. So what happened was I got a phone call from my mom. Actually, she had I had gone out there to help them. They live about 3 hours away from me, and we were bringing my dad, actually, to the VA for an appointment, and my mom mentioned to me that she had lost 15 pounds. And so I was like, Mom, you got to get yourself to the doctor, you know, and check it out. And she was like, no, I don't have time, because she was always busy caring for my dad, and she did it very well. And, you know, I would help when I would go there to an extent, but not a lot, really. And so we, you know, she went to the doctor, and I got a phone call from the doctor, and it sounded really bad. They suspected pancreatic cancer. And to make a long story short, she died within 3 weeks of pancreatic cancer, and it was a shock to the whole family because, again, you know, she was caring for my dad, and my dad was the one who was not doing well, and here my mom, it was a very sudden illness. And so we were devastated, to say the least, but we went up there. I went up there immediately. Like, we waited for the weekend because we had to do something to take care of my dad, and they wanted her hospitalized. Actually, we didn't even really find out the final diagnosis till the day before she died, but that was what was suspected. And so we went up there, and I went up there, actually, and my sister joined me, and we had to learn how to care for my dad, you know, including insulin shots and his bathroom needs and just his medicines and all of that. And I was very nervous, to say the least, because, you know, I really never did any of that. And so I went up there and shadowed my mom, and she showed me, and shortly after that, she went into the hospital, and 5 days later, she was taken home to be with the Lord. And so she died on February 23rd, and March 1st, we moved my dad into our home. And it began a huge change in our life and our home. Because we were homeschooling, I had 2 kids at home, 1 son who was ready to go away to school, so we took his room, and he gave up his room very graciously, and my dad, we moved him into the room, and our life changed drastically in the next 2.5 years that he was with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now,
and I think, and again, this is Rudy, mm-hmm. I think from our perspective, it was something that was, it was just something that we really felt strongly from the Lord to do. You know, we took him into, I sat my children down, and I basically said, just said, listen, you know, as long as it's humanly possible and medically possible, we're going to have Grandpa here in the home. You know, we're going to care for Grandpa here. And, what I said to the kids, you know, was, you know, it's not a matter of if Grandpa is going to, you know, pass, you know, to Mom, it's going to be when. And so we were not sure, you know. I think statistics are amazing that when a wife dies after people have been married for more than 50 years, the statistics are 90% that the men, you know, pass away. So we didn't know whether it was going to be 1 month, 3 months, a year. I didn't think, to be honest with you, I wasn't I didn't think it was going to go past 3 months. And the Lord has a funny way of saying, okay, you know, I have the time and the seasons of everybody's life. And it was 2.5 years later that Dad went home. But it was one of the greatest challenges, greatest joys, greatest, you know, it was just such an enormous undertaking. And my wife, who was, you know, she took it, not only did she have to take care of her dad and all of us helping her, but she had to also take care of all of the, you know, financial things, all of the doctor things. And that can become quickly overwhelming. But we knew that we wanted Dad in our home. And the reason for that is he would be able to, even though he was blind, he would be able to be with his, you know, with his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. Elizabeth and I have 5 children, like she said. 2 of our daughters are married, and we have 5 grandkids. So it was, ultimately, it was just a great place for Dad to be around. And,
really, what happened was it became an incredible platform for transformation in our lives, because there were so many challenges, and in the midst of those challenges, we definitely had to rely on our faith and you know, cry out to God. And in the midst of those dark times, is where it, you know, God shows up. And it was those lessons that I learned, that I wrote about in my book, Life Lessons from My Papa. And it was interesting how the book came about. I really was going through the different steps of caring for my dad and the different challenges. And as I would pray and God would show me things and help me with different things, I just began to start journaling. And pretty soon I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to write a book, and which I never thought. I mean, it's just my story, but I never thought I would write a book. And then shortly after that, I started telling people, well, I'm writing a book. And I couldn't even believe I was saying that, you know, I hear myself say that. I was like, I'm writing a book, really? And so, yeah, it was and the book was written as the journey was being taken and as the lessons were learned. And I knew it wouldn't be done until my dad passed. And then, you know, and God was so good, because I really felt like he just downloaded the lessons. And so as he downloaded, I wrote them, and I wasn't anxious about it. And, you know, I just felt like he said, just write as I give it to you, and not to worry about when it would be complete. It did take a little over a year. And then after he passed, I waited a few months and did a chapter on looking back. And my children also all wrote, and I told them, you know, this is a book primarily for caregivers, but it's really for anyone who, you know, is interested in the truths, whatever challenges we face, you know, the principles, you know, apply. So, and so I asked my children to write for me, and I have 5 of them, and they were all like, yeah, yeah, Mom, no problem. But of course, like, you know, getting them to actually produce this thing took a while.
Right.
And I said to them, you know, it only has to be a couple of pages, you know, because it's written in devotional form, because caretakers don't really have a lot of time to read through a whole book. So just whatever life, the audience is caregivers, and you know, whatever life lessons you've learned, and of course they had to trust whatever they would write. And so they did. They wrote, and they surprised me. By the time they gave it to me, it was like they wrote more than 2 pages. The whole epilogue is them writing and my husband writing, and it really just was such a blessing to see the life lessons that they learned. Because there was a lot of struggles in the midst of it, and you know, you were concerned about what was being neglected, and so when they wrote on paper what, you know, God had done in and through the situation, I saw that God's plan unfolding. And so they write in the end, and we have some pictures in the middle, which you know, people can enjoy.
Okay, well, you know what? I want to backtrack a little bit, because you both said something very interesting. You touched on 2 points. First, you talked about the emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual effect that this whole process had on you. And then you brought up sharing the news with your children. When you share the news with your children, we'll start there. When you share the news with your children, Did you sit down as a family? How did you go about making the plan to work together to
right.
care for your father?
Okay. Well, you know what? I think that plan was already in existence because of the fact that we worked together as a team, you know, and being homeschooling, you know, a lot of that, you know, you just kind of do things together as a family a lot.
It transferred
but,
over.
I was at my mom's house because I was dealing with my mom dying and learning about my dad's care. And so, you know, my husband and I, of course, were talking on the phone, and it was so sudden and, you know, as far as him coming to live here. But we were in, my husband and I were in total agreement. I have to say my husband was tremendous. Not everybody can do it if you don't have the support
mm-hmm.
of, you know, your spouse. And so he was absolutely on board, and we were in unity. And so I let him tell you what was happening back home because I was in the midst of making decisions about my mother's medical situation, taking care of my dad. My sister was there. My uncle, my cousin was there. We were, you know. And so my husband took care of telling the kids at home, so I'll let you tell you that.
I think what it was is when we got the news, I had lost my father to pancreatic cancer. We got the news the day before 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and we wound up losing him in 3 months. So we knew that this was just a matter of time before my mother-in-law, and I think everybody was in shock. When I did my father-in-law's funeral, the thing that I said is, you know, my mother-in-law was the motor that ran everything. I mean, she was mm-hmm. the motor, but my father-in-law was the boat. He was the stability of the, you know, the family, and my mother-in-law just got everything done. So when mom got what we kind of figured was pancreatic cancer, I knew that the time was short, and I knew that we had to begin preparing, talking to the kids. So the first thing that we had to really deal with was the pain of losing my mother-in-law, because she was the life of everything, and the kids loved her. And so in dealing with that, I said, listen, guys, this is the natural progression of what's going to happen. You know, we want to take Grandpa in here. We want to make his last days. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I wrote in the book was I was walking my father-in-law back and forth to the bathroom, because you got to remember he was completely blind. He was a diabetic, and he was dealing with dementia. So as I was walking my father-in-law back, I had said to my father-in-law in the hospital just before my mother-in-law went home, said, Dad, I want you to know something. You have just sown so many great seeds into my life and into my marriage with my wife. I just want you to know that you are now about to reap that. I said, Dad, I want you to understand something. For the rest of your life, I don't want you to worry about a thing. From this point on, we're going to be taking care of you. We're taking you into our home. And I don't want you to worry about a thing. And, you know, you're going to be with us until you go to be with Mom. And my father-in-law, in that gentle way, turned around to me. He goes, I know. And it was just a great comment. You know, it was just a great. He had confidence, and I think maybe.
Well, you know, I could say he was very childlike as well because of the dementia, and he was a very kind man. And I even write about that in the book, that he, you know, he lived his life forgiving others and being kind. And I think a lot of times we end our lives the same way,
yeah,
according
absolutely.
To the choices
Amen.
We make.
That's
right, that's so right. He was like. He was totally dependent and childlike and trusting, which really was another lesson that I had learned, you know, that how, you know, we are to be that way with our Father God. And so he was, you know, in a way it was easy for him because he didn't even know my mom really died. He, you know, we tell him and then he would forget. So, but he was very childlike and trusting. So when my husband said to him, you know, we're going to take care of it, he was like, okay, thanks, you know.
Yeah, I think one of the things is I was preaching at the Bowery Mission yesterday, and I was sharing because it was talking about calling out to the Lord. And my father-in-law, and I said to the guys, I said, you know, my father-in-law was a great example of this, because when he was in our home, my duty as the husband, my wife was there all day taking care of my father-in-law. So came nighttime, I was the nighttime caregiver. So
mm-hmm.
when we were sleeping, my father-in-law, again, because he was blind and because he was a diabetic, I did not want him to fall. So I told him, said, Pops, if you need anything, just call me in the middle of the night. So for two out of 2.5 of the years, I was up between, you know, 2 and 3 times a night. He would call me. But he had a confidence that when he called me, Rudy, Rudy, he knew I was going to get up and I was going to come and I was going to help him. One of the funny stories I'll just tell real quickly is one night he called me. It was maybe 2:30 or maybe 2:45 in the morning, and he had to go to the bathroom, so I put him on the commode, and when he was done, I put him back in bed. And a half hour later, he called me again. I said, there is no way Dad has to go to the bathroom again. So I walk into the room, and I said, Pops, what's up? What do you need? He says, Rudy, there's a problem. I said, what's the problem? He goes, can you do me a favor? Can you go outside and park the car? Mind you, he has not driven a car probably in 40 years. I said,
okay.
Pops, not a problem. I'll go out and I'll take care of that. He goes, and there's another problem, Rudy. He said, what's that? This bed is crooked. So I shook the bed a little bit. I said, Pops, how's that? He goes, that is great. Thank you so much. I said, can I go back to bed now? Thank you, Rudy. Absolutely. Go back to bed. Because he didn't know day and night.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, you know, when you would get him up, he says, what time is it? And, you know, he just had no concept of day or night. So it was, he had to have total confidence. And I think the thing that my wife shared, and even in the book, is that's really where we want to be in our walk with Jesus, is totally dependent and confident that our God is going to be able to do, you know, what's best for us and what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I could share one of the things that Rudy was talking about is how he entered into his little world. And, you know, it was really funny when we would have people visit. It's kind of, you know, it's hard. How do you approach? Sometimes it's very difficult. How do you approach an elderly person? Some people are more comfortable than others because of, you know, if he goes off into these stories, you know, you don't, it could be a little uncomfortable. But, I forgot what I was going to say.
Cell group?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
No, it's all right. You know what?
Oh, I know what I was going to say. My daughter is a nurse, and mm-hmm. she was a tremendous help. It was, you know, the way God provides for you and the way God gives you what you need when you're in a situation. She was a tremendous support to us medically, and she would help explain why, you know, certain things were happening, like when, you know, the disconnect and that would really help because it required a lot of patience because something that he was able to do the day before, he wasn't necessarily able to do the next day, and it was very frustrating. So she would provide, like, the medical information, and even as far as the dementia, because she was nursing, you know, for so long that, you know, that you just kind of enter into that little world instead of trying to explain to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, the reality of what was going on. And, it, you know, you had to laugh. You had to, you know, go with it and it made care for him a little easier, you know, understanding what was going on medically.
Okay, so not only was it a good experience letting your children know that Papa was coming to stay, but with their full support along with a daughter who's in the medical field,
yeah.
That family support and stability made things a little bit easier for you. I can't say even the word easy.
Absolutely.
Is correct.
No. It was invaluable.
It's a team mm-hmm. effort.
My daughter, my youngest daughter, I have princess, princess, prince, princess, prince, from 30 years old down to 15 years old.
Uh-huh.
The youngest daughter, who at the time was 18, for a while she would take the morning routine to give my wife a little bit of a break. My son, who was at the time 13, He was Grandpa's walker. He would walk Grandpa back and forth to the bathroom. He would take Grandpa to the kitchen table. He would take Grandpa wherever Grandpa needed to be. And as it came later, as his condition became, because when he first came to us, he could walk with a cane, then he had to walk with a walker, and then we had to use a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
What wound up happening is as the situation deteriorated, as Dad began to deteriorate, we were very reticent on what responsibilities we would give our children. So
mm-hmm.
we would have to constantly review that because we did not want a situation to where something would happen and, you know, they wouldn't be able to handle it.
Right, right. But what sounds wonderful here is that the children actually wanted to be included in his care.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah. And some more readily than others. My oldest son, who was going away to college, he was like, he shook hands with his dad And he said, I'll give up my room, Dad, that's fine. He said, as long as I don't have to do bodily fluids. That was his,
oh.
You know, that was where he drew the line. But he was, you know, he was invaluable, especially at the end, because my dad needed to be, like, carried sometimes and shifted, and so his strength, and he was such an encourager. And so whatever giftings are in your family, and they operate, and, you know, as long as there was a willing heart, which is, we had that. And so, yeah, as far as the family help was really important.
No, that what you just said is beautiful, that you actually were able to utilize the giftings in your family from each person.
Without a doubt.
Right, from 2-3 generations, he had his children, he had his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren.
Exactly. And I'm going to just tell a real funny story. One of my grandchildren at the time when Grandpa was here was, Elizabeth, I would think? 1.5, 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That young boy, my grandson, is an energizer bunny. He walks into a house and he basically doesn't walk. He runs and he just keeps going. And he just runs around and he's just really vociferous. He's got a great personality. He had such a bond and such a connection to my father-in-law that it was amazing. He would walk into our home. He would climb up on Grandpa's lap. Grandpa couldn't see him, but Grandpa could feel him. But he would sit on Grandpa's lap, and he would stand still for 5 minutes. He would not move. And one of the things, his greatest joy, my little grandson, Zachary, his greatest joy, my father-in-law used these red cushion balls to kind of exercise his hands so his hands wouldn't atrophy. Mm-hmm. It was my grandson's greatest desire in life to steal those red squishy balls out of my father-in-law's hand, and they would have a great time doing it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Listen, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tribal Wisdom. We're speaking with Rudy and Elizabeth Hugo on a daughter's journey caring for her elderly papa. Lessons from
life
her
lessons.
Papa. Life lessons. I'm sorry. In fact, go ahead.
Yes.
Introduce the book.
Yeah.
Let us know about because
I know our time is coming to an end, but it's the book is Life Lessons from My Papa,
mm-hmm.
and costbooks.com. You can buy it from a publishing company or Amazon or Barnes & Noble's, whatever your favorite bookstore is.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have a Facebook author's page, and it's just Elizabeth Hugo, author. If you put that in, you can, and I've been posting things about the elderly and quotes from my book and just trying to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
will have an author's website, which is, the domain name is www.elizabethhugo.com.
H-U-G-O, by the way.
H-U-G-O. And that will be launching hopefully in a week or two. This is all in the process of coming about.
I will say that we're excited about, because I know part of this is promoting the conference.
Mm-hmm.
We are really excited. This will be, our first real conference where, you know, Elizabeth will be sharing. We were asked by a homeschool friend to fly out to St. Louis, and we spoke on caring for the elderly in the home. We were part of a discussion panel. So
mm-hmm.
it's something that is new territory for me, well, for my wife, but what we have heard from many, many people is that this is becoming, whether you care for your parents in your home or unfortunately many have to, you know, go the nursing home route, but it's becoming a lot of this is happening. A lot of our friends, a lot of our age group are coming down and saying we have friends that are now taking their parents in.
Right. I was going to say that this is something. I mean, for a long time now, it's called a ministry. In my opinion, it is an actual ministry, and it's just becoming more prevalent. And with every age, people begin to pay attention to it again because, you know, during a certain season of your life, it's not something that you're really thinking about.
Yeah.
And then when you either have friends who have gone through it or are going through it or about to go through it, you really start thinking about it and you lean on and rely on the people closest to you who've experienced this to kind of help you and guide you through it. So what you guys are doing is a true ministry. And we're so glad that you're going to be there at the sellout conference on that Saturday. So, again, let me just remind our listeners that this is Rudy and Elizabeth Hugo. They're going to be at the sellout conference from Daughter to Mother and Beyond, Saturday, August 24, 2013, at the Cornerstone Baptist Church in Brooklyn. If you would like to have or get more information about this event, you can go to the Lethe Florence Foundation Facebook page, where you can see different quotes and different things about all of the speakers, actually, who will be there that night. If you'd like to get more information about that, please visit Elizabeth's page. Elizabeth, tell us the name of the page again.
It's just Elizabeth Hugo, comma, author. If you put that in the search engine of your Facebook, mm-hmm. it will come up, and you can like my page, and you can, you know, look at it. And then the name of the book is Life Lessons from My Papa. That's after Elizabeth Hugo, comma, author. But mm-hmm. if you put that up, just the author, because I've tried it, it comes up, and then you can just go ahead and befriend it and like it, and you'll see the whole thing. And there is a also, if you look at the About page, there's a link to be able to buy the book as well.
Right, and they will be.
And I will have books at the conference, by the way.
I was about to say, will they be able to purchase books at the conference?
But yes, of course they are.
Now, do you also post excerpts from the book onto your page as conversation points?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. That's good to know. We'll be sharing that on the page as well. I probably will put a few into the event. If you're on the Facebook event, thank you for joining in. We're going to put a few of those quotes in there for you to see and comment on if you choose to. And now, I mean, we said...
Thank you so much, by the way. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. It's my absolute pleasure, of course. And we did say the word ministry. So now, Cheryl, you all right? You there?
I am here. Good evening. My name is Sister Cheryl Walls. I am a local preacher at Metropolitan AME Zion Church in Yonkers, New York, where my husband is the pastor, Reverend Julius Walls, Jr.
Wonderful. And Cheryl is also going to be a speaker at this event, and she will be speaking about marriage, motherhood, ministry, and me. Did I say it in the right order?
Well, actually, I like the order that you just said it, because the first time it sounded like you were saying marriage ministry. And while I've read marriage ministry, this is not
intended to be marriage ministry, right? We're talking about the different roles that Cheryl plays and how they play off of each other. What I really like about tonight's guest is that Elizabeth and Cheryl have something that they can share about these particular roles, because we're talking to ministers' wives tonight, as well as and a minister. So you both have something to share, but we are going to talk to Cheryl about it. Cheryl, what nuggets of wisdom will you be bringing to us about these particular roles, separate and together?
Well, first I'd like to say my husband is sitting here with me, Reverend Julius Wall. Say hello.
Hi.
Hi, Julius.
Hey, hello.
He will be at the conference providing support and available for questions as well. But basically I want to talk about the roles of a woman from the areas or from the aspects of marriage, ministry, motherhood, and self. And I will be speaking out of Proverbs 31. We've all, or many of us, have heard about the Proverbs 31 woman.
Yes.
And that text talks about a woman, and it's growing up, when I used to hear about the Proverbs 31 woman, I thought it was an actual person. And I used to say, there's no way there's anyone that is really like that and has everything so together. And then after studying the text, I realized that this is the description of a queen, mm-hmm. and it is the king's mother who is describing the type of wife for the king.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, again, in reading it and studying it, I started to think about, well, if I call myself a queen, or if I call myself a daughter of the Most High, then what roles do I, or what attitude should I have towards the roles that I play? And I got into ministry a few years ago, And if anyone had told me that I was going to be in ministry, I would have told them they were crazy. It's not something that you think, well, from my perspective anyway, it's not something that you plan to do. It is something that you're called to do.
That's it.
And oftentimes you try to ignore the voice as long as you possibly can, and then you have to answer the call. So I answered that call a few years ago. As I said earlier, my husband is in ministry, and there are a lot of responsibilities in ministry. And I'm looking at this text to see what are the characteristics of this woman. I want to look at how she was a woman of purpose. I want to talk from how she planned, and I want to talk from how there was praise that was the result of her living on purpose and planning her life.
Amen.
And planning
Amen.
Her duty.
Amen.
Okay. All right. And just very quickly, I know that you have particular speaking points that are going to be spoken about on that day. This is where you're going to be coming from, the same responsibilities and ministries and roles and attitudes on August 24th, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Go on, continue.
So I will be talking about balancing marriage, motherhood, ministry,
mm-hmm.
and me.
Mm-hmm.
I will be talking about how when you know or you recognize that God has called you for a purpose, that your actions become different, your thoughts become different. You're no longer thinking of all of your duties as burdens, or you're no longer thinking about being overwhelmed, but you're thinking about what God has called you to do, and that kind of gives you a different energy. You know, women, not that we're super women, but sometimes when we take the role of superwomen, then we take it on as a burden. We take it on as, oh, there's just so much that I got to do. There's so much, you know, this one is pulling me here and this thing is pulling me there. But when you have the attitude that this is, I'm walking in God's purpose, then you take on those roles with just a different spirit and different energy. And
okay. No, I'm in agreement. Go ahead.
You know, Cheryl, I don't mean to give away any of your pieces, but I think I remember that you were the one who kind of shared with me that this was that verse was from one of the Proverbs 31 women. Those were stages of her life. So within our role as women, you know, there are different stages of our lives, and maybe what happens to us sometimes as women is we try sometimes to have all those things happen at one time, especially now, you know, today when you have to be, I think, Elizabeth, you were blessed, and I, and the Cheryl knows this, that, you know, my cry at all times was, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. I'll just be the president of the PTA and bake cookies. That's all I want, you know. So you were... And as simple as that sounds, I know it's not as easy as it, you know, it sounds, but it's just that, you know, we tend to take on so much, and I think maybe key to this is learning to separate and you know, let things be in seasons.
Letting things be in season, and also initially when Audrey, you and I talked about it, we talked about marriage, we talked about motherhood, and we talked about ministry. And as I thought about it more, you also have to include that and me, because
right.
if you don't take care of me, you're not able to perform all of those roles, or you're
right.
not able to successfully perform all of those roles. So
right.
That's part of the conversation as well, is taking care of self in order to be equipped to take care of your other duties, be equipped to be a wife, equipped to do ministry, and equipped to take care of your children and spend time with them.
Right, because I remember when you shared, when we spoke again and you added that piece, I'm going to be very honest, part of me went, well, why do we have to add that? And I know you're always bringing me back to, but Audrey, you taking care of yourself. are you taking care of you? Are you making time for you and everything else that you're piling on your plate? So I think that's going to really be important,
you know, for
you to share with us.
If I can interject here, it's Elizabeth again. I have a chapter in my book on rest and respite and just how important it is to re-energize. And, you know, it's not only for caregivers. I mean, if you're a mom, you're a caregiver. I mean, and all of us, if we keep going and going and going without taking a pause and you know, taking care of ourselves so that we can continue to do whatever it is God is calling us to do with excellence. So it's a real key. I mean, and I believe there's a lot of scriptures that talk about the your body being the temple and you know, so we really need to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, it tells us in Genesis, God rested. And if God does, if God needs rest, we definitely need rest.
Absolutely.
You know, I was just reading how when he rested, he also rested to enjoy all that he did in the 6 days of creation. And he looked and he... So, I mean, I really think that we need to do that too, is just take in the goodness of God in those times of rest so that we can re-energize and refocus.
You know what, ladies? I would love to know how important it is to know which one comes first, because with the order that she has everything in, I don't want it to get mixed up that one comes before the other. Of course, God comes first in front of all of them, but is there a different time? Would you say that there's different times where the me comes first, where the marriage comes first, where the ministry comes first, or the motherhood?
Well, I've been thinking one of the areas that I want to talk through on that Saturday, August 24th at Cornerstone, is talking about the balance. And the vision that came to my mind was almost like the scales, where at the top of that scale is God, and then all of the other items are on one side, and then the person, myself, is on the other side, so that there isn't a priority in terms of ministry, marriage, and motherhood, because at different times, there are going to be different needs. And I'll give the example. There was a conference going on at my church, a leadership conference, and I really wanted to be there. There were workshops that were going to be given that I needed. And my husband was going to be out of town, and he said to me, and at the time I have one daughter that is at home. I have three children, but one is still at home. And my husband said to me, it's more important that you're with Taylor. So... while we know that God comes first, and you say, okay, well, ministry may come first, but I don't know that I would prioritize ministry, marriage, or motherhood as one, two, or three. There are times when each one will need to be put as the priority.
Excellent. Of course, those times will present themselves when they show up. There's really no way to really know unless it depends on what's going on at the time, is what you're saying? Cheryl?
Right. And then I'll also use the analogy of when you're on a plane and they say, you know, in the event of emergency and the oxygen mask come down and you have to put on yours first before you assist your child.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Maybe a time when I have to take care of me first.
Exactly. Exactly, because, of course, if you fall apart, then everything else that you would have to take care of falls apart, too. So,
I think what I'm hearing is that there's really no formula, and each situation requires hearing from God as to how the Spirit is leading.
And each situation requires balancing.
Yep. I could interject as a husband and as a minister also, I will say this. It was so valuable and so absolutely necessary for my wife to have times of respite. And whether it be an afternoon, whether it be, you know, a couple of hours here and there, or if it was, there were times when we were with Pops that it was just so overwhelming, and my sister-in-law would come and say, hey, guys, do me a favor, go away for a day or two. I'll take over, you know, and I'll be responsible. And those times, what we found is that those times of refreshing were absolutely invaluable. And it absolutely needs to be done. And I think even from a point of husbands, that we need to make sure that our wives have that opportunity to get the respite.
Wonderful. You know, I would love for Reverend Julius to come in and have something to say about this.
Well, I didn't say much because we tried to keep this alliteration flowing with the four M's, marriage, ministry, motherhood, and me. And so there was no room for the F, fatherhood, in that one. So,
well, the conference is about families, too. So since in the first portion of the show we talked about support systems when it comes to emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual support systems and stability, there's no way that we could not hear from you. And you're sitting there anyway.
Right. So,
I held back, Pastor. I held back. Come on now, it's your turn.
Well, I mean, my wife has said it well. I think that I reject the premise of how we talk about priorities in our lives and say that, you know, we talk more about balance in our lives. God is first, and he's a jealous God, and he said so much as when you compare our loves that it would look like you hate your wife in comparison to how much you love me. But he's also put us here to fulfill various roles in our lives. And so as we do what we're supposed to do for him, we are doing whatever he's called us to do. Mine has been in formal pastoral ministry, and hers has been in ministry as well. But her role and my role is also as parents. Her role and my role is also as spouse. And then God has also called us to take care of ourselves properly, the temple that he's given us, the physical temple, the spiritual temple. So we're needing to put this all in balance. And he's given us, you know, clear instructions on the fact that we do need to keep this in balance and how we need to work to keep it in balance. So we reject the premise of discussing this priorities 1, 2, and 3. We use the notion of seasons a lot. The season of, she talked about my daughter who's now 16, will be 17 in October. Her season now at 16 and 17 is very different than her season at age 2 and 3. And so our role with her, our responsibilities with her at age 3 is very different than it is today. And so we're able to take on different things today because our balance is different today. And so we continue to look for the balance of things.
I love it. I love it. And I think that speaks to what RG was saying as well when you said that it's seasons of the Proverbs 31 woman that really allowed her to accomplish certain things at certain times. So thank you for that input. Thank you. Cheryl.
And then, Julius, everything with this woman, really her behavior, made her husband shine. Or, you know, it put a glow on him, and he was known because of her. Or, you know, people knew things because the way she conducted herself, it reflected, that's a better word, it reflected on the man of the house. So, you know, it all kind of balances out because everything kind of leads in a circular way.
You know what? I can say for myself that I always found it interesting that when reading Proverbs 31, that all he ever had to do was get dressed and go sit with the elders. Meanwhile,
now, dangerous territory.
Don't start with him, Cynthia.
I like it.
All our imagining of what was happening, given that we know this was a description from the king's mother of what's happening, what's the ideal, or what's the what's the ideal situation for a king and queen?
Right. No, I just always thought, I laughed at it when I read, you know, when I speak with my friends about her, even with my mom, I say, you know, mom, she was running a household. She had handmaids. She was visiting the sick. She was picking fields. She was bringing fruit from afar. She was picking real tea. She was doing all of this stuff. And the only thing I see that he had to do was to look good and sit down. And then, of course, provide her with the means to get all of this stuff done. But I always get a kick out of that story just for that, and my friends and I laugh at that all the time.
Well, I mean, the other side of this, of course, was that was a mother talking about who's good enough for her son.
Come on now. And if Mom ain't happy, nobody's happy.
These are real people.
and I'm sure that it's still something that goes on. You guys are parents. Are these stories that you tell your children who on how to choose or how to recognize who God has chosen?
Sure.
Excellent.
Absolutely. But it's interesting because I find that what we say with our words are irrelevant if we're not. I think it's more impactful for us to show more so than to say.
Yeah. True. Cynthia, wasn't that what Ernest said, right? That the children, you know, what he sees, they right.
Right. He said, a conversation is what you say, it's what you do, it's how you follow through on what you do.
Yeah, it's the saying that more is caught than taught.
Right, right, because the children are looking at.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
What they see.
I mean, I think the teaching is necessary too, but really, you know, are you more as caught than taught?
let me just interject right now that there are only 10 minutes left in the show. I told you guys that it would go very quickly, and I know you're probably like, really? Wow, okay. There's only 10 minutes left in the show, so if you're listening in via internet and you still want to be a part of the conversation, feel free to call in at 347-996-3160. You are also welcome to join us on the Facebook page event where you can type in a comment or a question if you have any for us here. And hopefully you will be visiting the other pages that we mentioned tonight, which I will be posting in the event as well. Again, you are listening to a nice, interesting chat with the speakers from the Lethe Florence Foundation CELA Conference coming up August 24, 2013 at Cornerstone Baptist Church. If you enjoyed last week and if you're enjoying this week, please let us know. You can get more information about tickets and the other speakers on the Lethe Florence Foundation page on Facebook. Audrey, why don't you, what?
Okay.
I was coming to you. Don't worry. I was going to say, for 2 weeks ago, we actually talked about what Lethe Florence Foundation was about and how you decided to really pull this conference together. And we did not talk about that this time, just in case someone missed it last week. Why don't you fill us in on that?
Well, as I was listening to Elizabeth tell her story, I remember caring for my grandmother because Lethe is my grandmother's name. And Florence was the middle name that she gave herself because she admired Florence Nightingale, and her mom had not given her a middle name.
Wow.
And my grandmother passed. It'll be 2 years on the 28th of August, and this is her legacy. I am so through this work, I am going to let the world experience some of what she gave to me and the other members of our family. She was someone who took care. She was a stay-at-home mom, but there was a season when she came to this country that she was a working mom. And she owned properties and things like that. So again, this whole idea of this foundation working with women entrepreneurs and also family. And I also want all our listeners to know, Cynthia, that a family can be also a single mom or a single dad with children. Because I know someone called about the conference and felt uncomfortable because I realized after I hung up that she said she didn't think it was for her, and that was because she saw husbands and wives. And I was talking about, how Pastor Hugo was there to support his wife, and also how, Cheryl's husband, Cheryl is a part of her husband's ministry. So I think this woman felt uncomfortable. So I just want our listeners to know that a family is also that which contains a single parent raising children or one child.
Absolutely. And if they choose to, I would love for both of you, the Hugos and the Walls, huge Walls, that's hilarious. to if you'd like, you can tell us where your churches are. If people choose to want to come hear you before the conference, that would be great. Starting with the Hugos, if there's a specific place where you are speaking and preaching on Sundays or any other time, please share that with us.
Sure. I, in our fellowship, I act as an elder. I am the leader of Christian homeschooling in the state of New York. I'm the president of New York State Loving Education at Home. I am also a ministry team leader for the Bowery Mission in New York City, where I bring a lot of young people to minister and do food preparation, do shower program, clothing room, do stuff outside. And then we're also, and our fellowship is out on Long Island. We share a church building with Grace Church, which is in Sayville, New York, on Overton Street. And we meet at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Our church is very different, very unique, and it's been a real blessing. And we really worship and intimacy amongst families is really, really important to us, discipleship. And my heart as a leader and even in the homeschool movement is families and children and raising children up to serve God and to serve people. My favorite scripture is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I figure if you do those two things, you're going to be busy enough.
No, that's true. That's definitely true. And I hope to have you back on the show sometime before the year is up to actually talk about homeschooling, because that's definitely a topic we wanted to touch on. So please be invited back on the show when you have some time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And now Cheryl and Julius, or Julius and Cheryl, please tell us where people can find you to fellowship and hear more of you.
We are at the Metropolitan AME Zion Church in Yonkers, New York. The address is 76 Belknap Avenue. Zip code is 10710. If you're Googling the address, then you should put in, if you're using navigation for the address, then you should put in 47 Belknap, Yonkers, New York.
Wonderful.
Summer months are at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and in September it will go back to 11 a.m. with Sunday school being at 10 a.m.
Amen.
Wonderful.
And I'm actually teaching on August 17th, not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday.
Great. Well, I guess that's a trip for me again, huh, Cheryl?
That's all right. Just swing by and pick me up, please. That's all I ask. That you swing by and pick me up. be a good friend now. Pick me up and take me along.
That's good. That's great. I just wanted to say something about the Bowery also. We're there. We're there the first Tuesday of every month. As a matter of fact, we've been there now for, I've been leading the ministry there for 17 years. And, it's been an absolute joy and a privilege. So if any of you ever came out the first Tuesday of the month, if you're in New York City and near the Bowery, come on and say hi to me, and I'd love to fellowship and minister with you.
Wonderful.
I want to say, Cynthia, that, when I first met Pastor Hugo, it was I attended a Leia event because I was interested in homeschooling. And, he got up and he presented. And then after he had spoken and the event was over and, we were kind of fellowshipping upstairs, this crowd gathered around him and just started picking at his brain. And it was just like this wonderful impromptu teaching moment that was just so, everybody just wanted to get their question in to get his answer. So there is a really warm spirit with this gentleman. So by any means, if you're in the Bowery area, make your way down.
Wonderful.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sister.
Great. Well, we have come to the end of the show. I hope you guys did enjoy it. I enjoyed you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thanks for having us again.
It's a joy and a privilege. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So to our listeners, once again, we would love to have you at the event on August 24th, 2013, that's a Saturday, in Brooklyn at the Cornerstone Baptist Church. You're listening to some of the wonderful speakers that will be there who will have so much to share. I'm sure you got something out of just tonight's show where we're talking about family and spousal support systems and stability, and we're talking about responsibilities in ministry, roles and attitudes in ministry, and living on purpose. We got so much out of the show tonight. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please visit us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. You can visit us at bridaltribe.com to at least sign up for when we actually have our actual launch of the website. And until then, please listen to the archives. You're welcome to do so, to our previous shows where you can get a sense of who our other speakers are. And we hope that you enjoyed it. Remember that we are a company about love, beauty, wedding, and marriage fun. We love you. Have a good night.